So we turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and we begin with the first verse. Woe to God, you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. This is a very, very richly practical book. I think we've been seeing that, 2 Corinthians, and so profitable for churches, obviously, and for us as Christians. We hope this night to look from verses 1 to 15. I hope I'll be able to cover that much. And it's about safety through loyalty. Safety through loyalty. And this loyalty is to the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll come to that very shortly. You would remember that the Apostle Paul, specifically in from verses 10 to 13, is now speaking more directly to his detractors. In fact, in this chapter, he calls them apostles, that they are false apostles. In fact, that's who they were. They were calling themselves or behaving themselves as though they were apostles. And so the apostle will now be speaking about them, and then from that be speaking to the brethren too, warning them, giving them counsels, and that's what is most helpful to us. But in the process of dealing with these false apostles, they put Paul in a very undesirable corner. He didn't like to be at this corner. It is the corner of having to speak about himself. And strangely, this seems to be the only way out. The only way for him to be able to protect the church is to be able to speak about himself and his work. And so he calls it folly, foolishness. He says, it's something I should not be doing. And he would tell the church, you drove me to it. You brought me to a point where I have to, because you opened your ears to people you shouldn't have opened your ears to. And you seem to be so inclined to follow them that now I have to really try to parade my own self and work so that you know that we were the men, the very people God sent to you. And we are the ones that you're supposed to be listening to. And so, remember, the apostle will be mentioning that again and again, that it's an awkward thing for him, very undesirable thing, uncomfortable thing that he had to do. But he had to do it anyway, because after all, he will not be speaking lies, he will not be exalting himself, as he would say, overmuch. He will be speaking very plainly, sincerely, truthfully about things that could be proved. Anybody who desired it could test them out and realize that, yes, what we're saying is true. But he knew that normally he shouldn't have been speaking like that. And so he calls it foolishness. And remember, he even says that he's not speaking after the Lord. I won't get that today, tonight, I know. But maybe the Lord will next week. But please, to have that background in your mind understands why he almost apologizes. Not almost, he apologizes for speaking this way. He doesn't like to speak this way at all. And that tells us about the modesty of the apostle and how what a man of godliness he is, that he didn't want to get into this kind of thing. Friends, I think if you've been following the book, there's another thing we have to explain. You remember that at the first part, at least the earlier part of the book, we spoke at least all the way up to chapter 7, we saw the apostle commending the church, wasn't it? If you remember, he was praising them for how they were willing to change things and to even receive titles in fear and things like this. And so the problems the apostle Paul had raised in the first epistle, the church had done well to deal with them. However, something else was creeping in. And this time, it is some persons who were disturbing the church. And they were making headway. They were listening to them. The members were listening to them. At least some of them. And the apostle is worried. And is concerned that this would happen. And so you see, friends, I'm explaining this to see that the church never rests. We are always under some sort of attack. We are always assaulted. We should never be surprised. If we allow ourselves to be surprised, then of course Satan will take advantage even of our surprise. We will always be under us. So people would always want to take advantage of us. Are we not sheep? Are we not doves? The Savior comparing us to these animals. They are some of the most vulnerable animals in the forests. And so we are not surprised at all that when people look at the church, they find it to be the place where they can carry out their evil schemes. And this is very sad, but that is human nature. And that is what people do every time. Friends, I'm overstaying with my introduction. And friends, I have to tell you ahead of time that this is what is made largely. Some of them, it is simply out of ignorance and deception. But largely for many of them, it is the same scheme that has made many of the charismatic pastors very successful. Because they prey upon something that Apostle Paul would touch on. And we have to be all alert. It is a thing in us all that Satan can easily take advantage of. And he can, even if he finds that in the entire church, he can take advantage of also in the entire church. How careful we should be. Because these things are very, very real. And so friends, let's get into the verse now. Verse 1. Woe to God, you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. He begins this way because he really, as I mentioned, didn't want to get into those. But he's saying, I really desire that you bear with me. I have to be speaking about myself now, but you have to bear with me. You have to bear with the almost a sense that perhaps I'm exalting myself. Bear that with me, because he would realize that that's not the intention at all. Rather, my intention is this, verse 2, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. And so he said, I am motivated only by this. This is my singular motive. I am jealous over you. I am jealous with godly jealousy. In this sense, it means that I am concerned that the one I married you to, the Lord Jesus Christ, when I came, remember he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, when I came among you, I only preached Christ. I showed you Christ alone. We never preached about ourselves. We didn't come with ideas of our own. We preached only Christ and him crucified, because I wanted your faith to be built upon him. And that's the only way a Christian can be built up, when his faith is built upon the Lord Jesus Christ alone. And so you were married, as it were, to him. You were engaged to him, to be faithful to him, to listen to him, to feel yourself as a church, as a bride of the Lord, who says it is only the Lord Jesus Christ we should be listening to. And then anyone who comes around and is truly speaking about him and pointing to him and showing us how to walk with him alone is the one we will be listening to. That's the kind of thing we taught you about. Now I'm jealous that some people will lure you away from this one Christ to something else, to somebody else, to some other ideas. And I'm jealous this would happen. And so he says, for I espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Virgin in the sense that you don't have mixed loyalties. You have a singular loyalty. You've not been defiled by anyone. You are the Lord's. And you are not, as it were, engaging in some questionable friendships around. You are not saying, we belong to Christ, we're a Christian church. And yet at the same time, we are listening to these ideas that do not point to Christ. And that would be like really flirting with other lovers. And that would not be loyalty at all. And I'll be disloyal, disloyalty to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you see, Apostle Paul tells them his motive right away. I want you to see yourself as singularly married to Christ, bound to him. You remember we said that in chapter 10. The Apostle Paul said this, that the mark of any genuine church and of any genuine member in any church is people who say, my mind is bound only to Christ. And I want to obey him only, not any person, however he appears. It's not, I am not, you say, I am not loyal to any particular person. It's only Christ. And if any comes along, it is only teaching this Christ, showing how to walk with him, and exalting his doctrine and teaching, this is the person I will listen to, you see. And so the Apostle Paul shows us that our thoughts are in obedience to Christ. Oh dear friends, I'm stressing this so much. You know why? It's easy to take it for granted. It's easy to simply think, oh, simply because we are always talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. This is, friend, if that were so, the Apostle wouldn't be writing this epistle. The church in Corinth was like that. The Apostle, when they preached only Christ, how did they fall into this kind of condition? Where now they are willing to open their ears to people who were not, who were not pointing them to Christ and his things. In fact, the Apostle Paul would tell us, I think it's in verse 4, he would tell us, I'll get there, he would tell us these people only pretend to speak about Christ and things like this. And we must know the differences, dear brethren. Otherwise, we all can easily be deluded and be deceived. And so, friends, I found this chapter so engaging to your heart as you read and study, that it so fills you with so much challenge, and you feel almost a burden on your heart, isn't it? So, verse 2, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ, my dear friends. Well, of course, old writers really mention this again, dear friends. This is the aim of any faithful ministry. And if people think pastors devise their own aims for churches, well, they get it wrong. We spelled out for us here as simple as that. We are here to labor by the help of the Lord, that those that are in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ will stand as genuine Christians who are bound to Christ alone, who have only single loyalty, and therefore strive to please Him and honor Him. And then when that day comes, they will find themselves to have been only true to Christ our Lord. You see, friends, we have to remember this. Any faithful minister, any faithful ministry must not only claim that they do this, they must be seen to be pursuing only this, Christ, and how we will be loyal to Him. Well, friends, I wanted to turn to a passage, but because of time and I want to cover a number, please forgive me. I have to go on. So let me come to verse 3. But, and so though that is His aim, Apostle Paul acknowledges a snare, a danger. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So the apostle is aware. I have told you these things, and I know this is the aim of the ministry there in Achaia, in Corinth in particular. But I'm aware, and it's my fear, that Satan may beguile you, he may deceive you. Just as he did to Eve. Remember how he did to Eve? Friends, Apostle Paul mentions this here so that we are always alert. In fact, he will give us example of these people here. That they will seem to speak exactly as we speak. They will seem to speak to our very interests. They will seem to have our interest in view. My dear friends, this is part of the reason, of course, because it's a church. If the church becomes inward looking and forgets that they are here to represent the Lord, Satan succeeds easily. If we form a church that is only here to please ourselves, do things to pamper ourselves, Satan succeeds easily, because he succeeds very easily with a selfish person. He comes and he pampers you. And he says nice things into your ears. You know, you can't be doing this. You know, you can't be enjoying this. If only this and this were changed. If only this and this were taken away. And it's actually really alluring you. Is that not what he did to Eve? Oh, if only you were wise, you were like God. That's what God doesn't want you to do. And then Eve wanted to do it. And so there's that subtlety. And friends, sadly, these persons have found their way into the church. They will find their way into churches. We may find such in our church, whether now or future, my dear friends. Subtle people. who know how to really craft the language. And it's full of pampering in order to have their own way. That is their own aim they want, their own ambition, something they want for themselves. But always like Satan, they will seem to say they were palming off something to you. You can also have this. You can also enjoy this. But he knows that he himself will be the bigger gainer eventually. And so you see, he comes up that way. And so, my dear friends, may we have grace to die to self. You say, we hate every praise. People praising us. People saying nice things about us. And wanting to really do all kinds of... If we want those things, if we want to hear those things, woe unto us. Satan will send somebody along shortly. And they will get us. And they will lure us. May we ever say, may the Lord Jesus Christ alone be exalted. He alone seen and heard in the church. He alone. My dear friends, this is so important, my dear brethren. The Apostle Paul is putting all the foundations on this. It's another way of saying, it is because this went wrong that you listened to those men. Otherwise, you wouldn't have listened to them. If you remembered that it's Christ. Because what did they do? So that your mind should not be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. The Greek means the sincerity that is in Christ. Or the singleness that is in Christ. The whole idea that let us only focus on Christ. His name, His honor, His cause, His testimony. And our pleasing Him and doing His will. Things like those. They will corrupt your mind. So that, see, Apostle Paul puts it very properly, they may not start pulling you into some extreme bad behavior. They first corrupt the mind. They put it in your mind, something that is very selfish and for me. Something that would maybe exalt me just a little. And then our minds are corrupted. If we exalt ourselves to any measure, we abase the Lord Jesus Christ, you see, because we are bound to only be pointing to Him and speaking of Him. And so the Apostle Paul really roots everything upon this. So your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there's such singleness, friends. Everything must glorify Him. He must be obeyed by everybody. And in all things, we should remember the fundamentals, dear friends. He must be obeyed, not in some things. Again, Apostle would show us how these people crafted themselves and their language, so they won this church. Or almost won the church. And so, He alone must be obeyed in all things. Not in some things, but in all things. And so, this is how they corrupt the mind. And against that simplicity of Christ. And so see here, look at verse 4. So this is the passage I was referring to shortly. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Is that not striking? You see, he says another Jesus, meaning they will come and speak about Jesus, Jesus Christ. They really are not referring to the Lord of glory. It doesn't mean that these people in their minds knew another Jesus somewhere they are referring to and merely using the name. No, what Apostle Paul means is this. They come and talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, but they are not meaning the Lord Jesus Christ of the Bible because they are not willing to listen to him. So they mention his name, but they are not really his followers. They talk about him, but they don't really care. And so, my dear friend, you see, so we should not even be carried away by their terms. Always saying Christ and Christ, like the charismatics, isn't it? They will mention his name every moment. And we all think they are being genuine and they are being spiritual. The Apostle Paul is saying, for if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom ye have not preached, we have not preached. Why did he say we have not preached? I will answer that shortly. Whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit,
which ye have not received. In other words, which were not sent to you by the Lord. These people are claiming, are able to let you experience their blessing other than the one you receive when you listen to our message of the gospel. And even the gospel they have their kind. Or another gospel which ye have not accepted. Ye might well bear within. Apostles' anxiety is this. Such a person, you will listen to him. You will listen to him so easily. Because you become so duped. You seem to lose your discernment. The very moment the person uses the terms, he will carry you away. Oh dear friends, is that so with us? We have to be concerned, shouldn't we? If somebody comes and just simply knows the terms and is using them, do we know how to probe further? You know that this has become a common thing now. I think I've mentioned it a number of times in the past. And no, it's one of the burdens, you know, we bear, and we say that we have to constantly speak about that. And there are a number of, it's one of the biggest problems of the fundamental Baptist churches. It didn't start here, it started in the States and other countries. You know, the whole idea where people merely say, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they understand the gospel, and they say, if somebody can simply say that, yes, Jesus Christ died on the cross for me, and he paid the penalty for my sin, and he can say all these things nicely, no question should be asked. He is converted. He is saved. We say, oh, then, what is the essence of all the parables of the Lord to warn us that there can be appearances of reception when there is no reception at all? The parable of the sower, you remember. And a number of warnings in Scripture. Do we know how to probe further? Why is the whole First John written and said, if somebody says that I believe, but does not do such and such, is not true. Why was it written? Why are we told by Jeremiah the prophet that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked? In other words, every individual's heart is the first deceiver. And so be careful. My own heart doesn't deceive me. I must use the evidences of Scripture to test my own self. Am I really converted? Or do I only know the terms and know how to answer things like this? Oh, my dear friends, these are very precious things. And so, and it's brought about if you permit my strong word, the downfall of what the fundamental Baptist churches were one strong testimony in America. Especially those days when liberalism, when people were disregarding Scripture and things like that, and it started to sweep through America. There were the churches that stood firm and still told themselves Scripture alone must be listened to. Why have they slipped, friends? We can all slip one day. You see, that's the thing. No one should take anything for granted, thinking that, oh, we can simply go on, we will always remain faithful. Friends, if we were faithful yesterday, doesn't mean we'll be faithful tomorrow. This is Apostle Paul's concern. We must know what to ask. We must know how to probe. Otherwise, people will come with just the terms. Friends, you know, I have time really to speak about this. When I look back, and I say this with pain, I remember that during the early years of my pastorate, when I was a pastor in a convention Baptist church, I knew that I was energetic and zealous. But one of the things that struck me later was that I was struggling on the issue, but I didn't face up to it until later. If somebody came to me and said, well, Pastor, I'm a Christian, and he says all these things, and wants to be baptized and become a member, what else do you ask for? The fact is, I've gone through my first training in a book or something, and I didn't know. Nobody taught me. And sadly, the seminaries around don't teach it. Because the professors, the teachers, I said, don't know it. They don't know. The thing that is at the very doorway
the kind of people who become members will show whether the church has a future or not. If they are unconverted people who only knew how to say things became member, they will sell the faith for anything. They will sell the faith for personal recognition, personal respect. They will sell it. Because they don't care. They don't mind. All they care is their own honor and applause. But let them be genuine Christians who know what the Savior has done. Then they know. They say, no. We don't trade the faith for anything. Insult us. Throw us away. Deny us anything. Walk over us. We do not care. Let that which the scripture says stand, and that forever, you see. Oh, my dear friends, I wish we could take that in, but Apostle Paul warns us, and his concern is that those in Corinth would have been so open to such a false people who only come. We're using the same terms. Oh, no, we're coming to preach the gospel to you. We have a Zoom prayer meeting nowadays with the other pastors in other parts of Africa, and I think as far as Europe is concerned, it's only in England, Pastor Ibrahim and another pastor in North London, and that's on Tuesdays, really, Ghana time, for the Zoom prayer. It's a very nice meeting, and it's very encouraging. But the reason why I'm telling you is this, because these pastors are warning us of these kind of things, where there's one of our churches in Nigeria, they were telling us, you know, a group called Acts chapter 29. That's their name, Acts chapter 29. And they are very popular in Nigeria now, easily build large churches. And they're warning us that they were there in Nigeria, they had come to seek their cooperation, but thankfully the brethren stood firm. And so, of course, they have nothing to do with them now. Oh, friends, subtlety is always the doorway. They play craft. If they don't pamper you, praise you, try to let you feel wonderful, and you are the one who can do some wonderful thing, they come using the same language as you use. And not that they're actually referring to somebody else. They simply don't know the Savior of the Bible. And so when they talk about him, they are merely talking about him. And that's what Apostle Paul means. And yet such person, Apostle Paul say, they come among you, and will you listen to them? Apostle Paul fears that you will. You will listen to them. Now, so Apostle Paul now comes to himself now. This is what puts him in a corner. Wouldn't you be drawn to speak about yourself, dear friends? You're a modest parent, and your son, your daughter, seems to go out there and is coming home with all kinds of ideas, and he's really running down everything you've taught him in the house and everything you've shown him, and he's almost accusing you of being ignorant, of being out of date, and things like those. And you know very clearly that all the things he's talking about is actually foolishness. I'm sure the mother will corner him one day and say, now let me speak to you this. You, I, and your dad, this, isn't it? At that point, are you speaking too much about yourself? But it's necessary. Unfortunately, people easily forget. It's our nature, isn't it? That's what the Lord told the people of Israel regularly. Remember, you should never forget. And gave them so many representations so they may remember. With all that, they forgot still. The Bible tells us in the book of Judges, when they got to the promised land and they have had enough food to eat, they forgot God. It's a painful part of us, my dear friends. And we should never underestimate that. It can bring our downfall, all of us. Forgetfulness, oh friends. And so the Apostle Paul reminds them this. Look at verse 5. For I suppose, I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles, he's saying. Now, I suppose that I am not a kind of a second-rate apostle. In any way, in any case, there are no levels of apostles. And I'm not behind any one of them. As if I'm an apostle, you should have listened to me. And then I come back shortly to what I mentioned in verse 4. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached. Why did he say we?
because the apostles were so conscious. It wasn't that they were merely teaching and somehow people began to say, their teaching is nice, so these people must be apostles. No, they were conscious that they were the Lord's apostles. So if somebody listened to them, they say, he's listening to the Lord. They were conscious that they were carrying God's message. It is not something that they have learned and known and were just preaching it. Please turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. I wanted to read it later on, but let me read it now so I don't read it again. 1 John chapter 4, verse 6. Look at this confidence speaking of the Apostle John. 1 John chapter 4, verse 6. We are of God. He's referring to the apostles. You will see soon. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Is that not very clear? If somebody is listening to us, we know it's true. If he's not listening to us, it's not a matter of this is another opinion. So let's just listen. You say, no, he's in error. You see? Either listening to us or no. My dear friend, this is how clear we can be. If the person is showing us the Bible, we will listen. If it is not the Bible, but ideas is propping up from somewhere, we say, no, we will listen. We will listen. Our minds are slaves to Scripture. And the Lord only we will listen and obey, you see. And so they were conscious of those. As Apostle Paul could say, for I suppose that I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. In other words, I should be listened to because I'm an apostle. And if somebody is not speaking as we are speaking, know for sure he is not of God. It doesn't matter what claims he makes. And so we apply and say, if somebody isn't trying to expound Scripture and show us what is here, tell yourself he is not of God. Don't say, oh, it's maybe another opinion that we should be considering. Please, no way in the church. No way at all. Verse 6. But though I be rude in speech. Remember they accused him of this. They said that his speech is contemptible. And so he said, okay. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge. And so he's letting them know very clearly. He knew because God has revealed himself to him. The Savior has given him his revelation. As he knew it, if communicating it, he did that with fumbling lips, well, he communicated still. And he communicated the truth. And so he says that, if I be rude in speech, what the Greek means, if I be like an idiot in speech, so that I seem like somebody who doesn't know diction, how to pronounce things, and how to say, however I fumbled, as for knowledge, I knew what is true and what the Lord is giving me. And then this is another thing that he's mentioning, because it is one of the things that make the apostles very different, the apostles of the Lord. But we have been truly made manifest among you in all things. We did not make ourselves. People were hiding in some secret place and come among you like bosses. And we say, hey, listen to us. We are the important persons, we've come. The Apostle Paul is saying, who we are is very plain among you. You have seen into our lives and seen us consistent in our lives to what we've been teaching. And so you can see plainly, we are not coming to make up things. These people who are calling themselves apostles, do you know their lives? Have you gotten into their lives? Are they ordering their lives according to the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know it? Have you been concerned even to search it out? Are they obedient people? Then suddenly, their words become important to you. This person, I claim to be a Christian. And I do not know this person, whether he obeys the Lord or not. And he now comes to speak as an authoritative person, and I must listen to him. Now this is another servant of the Lord. He tries to conform to the word of the Lord. As he teaches it, he also tries to confirm, because he himself is a servant trying to live under it. I don't want to listen to this one. I'm going to listen to this one because he speaks so pompously. And he speaks as a big man. Apostle says, what kind of wisdom is this? We have been truly made plain. Please remember in chapter 6, come back a little. Chapter 6, he had used the same reasoning with them. Chapter 6, the same book. Chapter 6, look at verses 11, I think to 13. Oh, ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now, for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be yours enlarged. We have opened ourselves to you. We have not tried to be some kind of people hiding away our lives and saying other things. And yet, you are straightening yourself. You don't want to open up to us. You want to really keep us out, and you don't want to listen. How sad it is, my dear friends. And the Apostle Paul gives them another clue. Well, we will want to listen to that person we have known, that he strives also to live in obedience to the word. Not anybody who comes to speak as an important person in himself. No, we don't listen to such a one. Apostle Paul is saying, as he said, we are apostles, and if our speech is not of the best in town, we have knowledge, and we have taught you that. And the knowledge we have taught you, you've seen that in our lives also. That's what he's saying in effect. And then he goes on. He reproves them in a gentle way. Verse 7. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself, that ye might be exalted, because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? Have I committed an offense that when I came preaching, I preached so freely? You know, in those days, you know, Corinth hosted one of the world universities of those days, Corinth and Athens. They were centers of great learning. And so they were used to lecturers or orators traveling around and speaking. And Apostle Paul is inferring to them here. And they would be traveling around and preaching. And if you went to their classes or sessions, you paid for it. As it was known, it was done. And Apostle Paul is saying, oh, did I commit an offense that when I came preaching Christ, I didn't collect any money from anybody. I didn't tell people that, well, get me all that possession or something like that. Did I commit an offense? In fact, I behaved as if I was a servant. It's a servant who works for no pay, isn't it? If you're a servant in a house, they give you food, they give you clothing, you don't go and sweep and say, well, I'm coming to charge 20 Ghana for having sweeped the compound. You didn't do that. That's your work. And so, and I came and preached without asking anything, because I treat Luke, behave as a servant, and you as the bosses, you as a church. I exalted you, I regarded you as churches of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we the servants for Christ's sake. Remember, he says that in one of the chapters. And so we came as servants, serving the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that what you don't want? You regard that as so base, so as to disregard our message. You know that some people, if you will you permit that, this is a very, very funny situation. I remember years ago, when we started a reform, we were living in a place, it's called Fourth Ridge in Cape Coast. That was a very quiet place. And I think that this gentleman really read the situation perfectly. He came round and said, well, he repairs gas cookers. So he comes around, and then we had a problem with that gas cooker, and we called this man, my wife who called him, and then when he came in, he looked at the gas cooker, and then he said there's something like a spring with the knots. So he needed to put some springs at the knots. So I asked him, so when you put these springs there, how much will it cost? And the charge was huge. So huge. And do you know, the reason I'm telling you is this. I always find it funny when I think of that again. That somehow, because it was expensive, we thought, this will work. Hasn't that happened to you before?
It's cheap. I don't think that's going to do. See, he changed it. You say, if you like, let me try. Friends, I can tell you this. The spring you put there was simply useless. A few days we had to just take it away. It was useless. And he got it. Because he spoke big, you see. That's what the charismatic pastors do. Speak big. And people realize, hey, there should be something in that man. Because if all those big things are for free, I know they can't be free. But if he's talking big, then it must be true. And Apostle Paul said, have I committed an offense because I came preaching this glorious message freely to you? You know, there's that tendency in us, my dear friends, all of us. And then he goes on. Verse 8. I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. The Greek means I stripped them. It didn't literally mean that he stole from them, because he gives the reason in verse 9. In other words, he got help from other churches. Look at verse 9. And when I was present with you and wanted or lacked, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the bread which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you. And so will I keep myself. So you see, Apostle Paul applied this principle selectively. You know why? Because he was sensitive. He could get help from some churches, other churches he wouldn't. He was simply looking at the circumstances. If I got it here, and I could be a hindrance to the gospel, I wouldn't. The Corinth church was relatively younger. In fact, of his travel, somewhere Corinth was part of the last churches. Macedonia had come earlier, you remember. He had gone to Macedonia in chapter 16, the first church being Philippi. And so that was a strong church. Others, they were maturer. They will understand what it means to support an apostle. And so for them to support wouldn't be like a bit, but it's a small church. Not a, Corinth was a large church, we know that, from the Acts of the Apostles. But the members were immature. If we talked about money, people say, oh, that orator so-and-so that comes into the university, the same is Paul. And Apostle Paul, no, I don't want to be compared that way. I don't want to be a hindrance. You remember Apostle Paul had told them this, please. We have to read this because it's so important. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Apostle Paul had to use this reasoning with them. But it's sad that they seem not to have gotten down. Oh dear friends, this is quite sad. But 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Listen to the apostle, because he's speaking around the same on the same way again. Let me please begin from verse 5. Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas? Or I only and Barnabas, have not we power to forbear work, and don't we have power not to work, and therefore ask churches to support us? Who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges? Who planteth a vineyard, and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth a flock, and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man, or set not the law the same as? Am I reasoning merely as a man, using only human illustration? No, the law is saying it too. He's saying this. Verse 9. For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God care, take care of oxen? God has said it in the Bible, in Deuteronomy, that the ox that is harvesting the corn, you don't tie his mouth. You must allow him to eat some whilst he's harvesting the rest. And he's asking, when the Lord said that in the Old Testament, was his concern really about ox, about animals? Apostle Paul said, no. Verse 10. Or set it all together for our sakes. For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that treasureth in hope, he that treasureth in hope shall be partakers of this hope. So that he that is laboring will be hopeful that he will still have his own needs catered for. And Apostle Paul said, this is proper if my needs were catered for by you. But look at this, verse 11. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? Is it a big thing?
If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? You are willing to give it to others. What about us? Nevertheless, this is the point. Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. You see the priority of the gospel? So it's not advantage first. It's not what we gain first. But it's that people may see clearly that the purposes of the ministry is for souls and not for any advantage, material advantage. We want to demonstrate that very clearly. Apostle Paul is saying, "And yet these men who come among you are not like that." So in other words, Apostle Paul is saying, when I was in need, I received help from other churches. Because as for you in Achaia, I didn't want to be a hindrance to you. You were still immature. And I didn't want to set a bad example that would hinder your faith. Is this thing you don't understand that makes you play down my message and my work among you? Are you saying, because we didn't charge and did not make ourselves a burden, you can easily ignore our message, that it is nothing? You see, that's his reasoning. And friends, how we say this kind of thing, that you know, in churches, we can easily fall into that temptation, my dear friends, if we take our eyes off the Lord, where if people are very humble toward us and are willing to be warm, and you know, young persons can be so gullible, are so guilty of us. Here we are. You have brothers, elderly men, elderly women, who are willing to do so much service, be willing to so much listen and help and support and do all manner of things. And so it gets into their heads. Oh, I think we are important. I think we can look down upon that brother, that sister. Why don't you remember, as Apostle started with chapter 10, verse 1, it's because of the meekness of Christ and the gentleness of Christ. They want to imitate their Savior. They want to reflect Him. It's not because they are afraid of us. It's not because we are indispensable. No. But because the Lord teaches us to value every person and want to please Him and want to honor Him. We are all prone to this kind of thing. When people abase themselves, serving us gently, we don't tremble to receive their service. We are tempted to trample over them, treat them as if they are nothing. Oh, me, not me. Such things never happen in the church. This chapter, I'm sorry we are not taking it in one go. You would have appreciated that this is exactly what the Apostle Paul is saying, that you will respect those people who come proudly among you and speak big. And our boss, we don't respect anybody. They only give a superficial respect. They only greet you, how are you? And they seem as if they are, but they don't really respect you. Because they won't listen to your counsel. If they can't listen to your counsel, they will not say, "Oh, brother, sister, I'm sorry, I can't listen to what you are saying. Because the Bible says such and such." Then all of us say, "Okay, let's be quiet." No, no, no. He simply doesn't regard you. And yet, sadly in the church, you find people listening to these ones. It's so strange. Please, in order for you, I may not be able to talk about that next week, but listen, it's here. Apostle Paul said that, I think it's down here in verse, I think we are still in chapter 11, isn't it? Apostle Paul said that in verse 20. "For ye suffer that you allow it, you endure it. If a man bring you into bondage," if somebody treats you like slaves, "if a man devour you, if a man take advantage of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you in the face," this person you take him. If somebody is so rough, and he can go loud and despise him, and we all tremble before him when he's coming, we want to do his will, because we don't want to be disregarded, things like that. Apostle Paul says, is that what you're letting happen in the church? The church of the Lord Jesus Christ? Where humility must be the ones to admire and exalt, where respect and fear of the Lord is the thing you should be valued. Oh, you valuing people who are proud and showy and disrespectful, what are you doing? May the Lord spare us, my dear friend, that such things should never come among us. That may we be those who see the virtues of the Lord. And friends, you know, we say this kind of thing, no matter what the status of that person, you know, it all begins with the fact that we are sinners, isn't it? It all begins with the fact that we are washed with the precious blood of Christ, isn't it? It all begins with the fact that unless the Savior changes us, we are condemned, useless sinners. Is that not a fact? And so what we value is to see in people whom the Savior has touched and changed and renewed and clothed with his character of humility, service, genuine regard for the brethren. Oh, friends, I'm sorry, my time is going to... If I had time, I would have turned to remember one of the things that is praised about a godly man in Psalm 15. He says that he has no respect for people who are not godly. He doesn't respect people who do not fear God and do not want to bow to his rule. He's a master to himself. He wants to do what he wants. And then the church will listen to such a person. No, we don't do that, because we belong to the Lord. I want to see the Savior's character in everybody. How can we say we are laboring to let the character of the Savior to be seen in people, and yet people who are opposite of that is the people that we exalt? How can that be possible? You see, friends. But it has happened in a church. It can happen to us, my dear friends. Unless we want to be loyal to Christ, keep our eyes upon him, upon his standard, upon his teaching, upon his mission. If we don't, we will slip into that, my dear friends. We are no different from the church in Corinth, unless we will keep our eyes upon that. And so, now friends, I'm sure now that I can get to my verse 15, but let me get to verse 12, because from 10 to 12, they say that it's building upon the same thing. Verse 10, as the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. He adds that as the truth of Christ is in me, in order to let them realize that he is not talking about this, because he's now cleverly saying this so that the people say, okay, now let's give the apostle money. And the apostle says, okay, yes, now bring it. The apostle says, no, as the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. You see, apostle Paul knows where the problem is. It's not in Macedonia. It is not in other parts of Asia. It's in Achaia. And he doesn't want to hinder the gospel. And so he said, as far as Achaia is concerned, that's where Corinth is. I have determined, whenever I go there, I will never accept. I will not demand anything. I will not, of course, if it is offered to him, apostle would take it for sure. But he will not demand anything. Even as a laborer, he could have asked for it if he needed it. But he says, in areas of Achaia, regions of Achaia, I will ask nothing. Why? He says, wherefore? Is it because I don't love you? Wherefore? Because I love you not. Friends, you know, this tells us that because of some higher principle, we become people who refuse gifts, that would be a show of lack of love. I hope we know that. So that we all should be warm enough to receive gifts. We don't demand it of people, but we should not throw it away. Should our people offer them? Because otherwise it will not be loved. Unless we are sensing the same thing like the apostle, that it may be a hindrance. It is being offered, but if I took it, it may hinder people. Then we may have to think otherwise. But wherefore? Because I love you not, God knoweth. God knows that I love you. But look at this here, verse 12. This is my reason. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion. What is he saying? That I may cut off reason from those who want some reason to go on doing what they do. What do they do? There may be two types, because all the two may be prevalent, may be in Corinth. The first kind may be people as I mentioned, who went preaching or lecturing around Achaia, Corinth, and other cities, charging. And these false apostles, probably, if not all of them, some of them may be doing this, charging also. And Apostle Paul is saying, I want to cut off the basis. They may say, well, we charge. After all, doesn't Apostle Paul say charge? And Apostle Paul is saying, I want to remove reasons. So you can't say we charge because Paul also charges. So they will have no reason for charge. So you will see the difference between us. That they charge the monies, we don't charge anything. We preach Christ freely. Now the other side is also true. They may have been people who have also deliberately decided not to charge. In order to be able to say, you see how self-denying we are, we also come. We don't charge anything. But if I won't charge, many of the false religions often pride themselves in something like that. Come to our church. We don't collect offering. Have you not heard some of them like that? And then they use that to lure people, knowing that it's one of the things that they use at Latter-day Saints to lure people. Say, oh, we don't talk about money there, and things like this there. It lures people. Apostle Paul is saying, I don't charge anything so that these people will not have reasons to say, look, Paul charges, look at us. We don't charge anything. So listen to us. So in whichever case, the Apostle Paul will remove occasion from them that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. That in the thing that they pride themselves in, they will eventually realize that no, they cannot compare themselves with us. And so, my dear friends, I have to close on this. Our time is up. You know, it presents a very powerful lesson, my dear friends, for us. The Apostle Paul shows us that we want to be very sensitive. We want to be so loyal to our dear Savior. But the gospel is number one. It's success. Oh, we do not prime anything of myself. I like it this way. It is not because the Bible teaches it. I prefer it that way. No, then there's lack of loyalty to Christ. If it is the will of the Savior, if it will please Him, if it will exalt His gospel, then we are loyal to it. We are willing to play down everything of ourselves, everything of my interest, your interest, in order to exalt that, because it is the Savior we want to exalt. And then, as the Apostle Paul said, I want to remove occasion from these people so that they don't pride themselves over the fact that perhaps they are also not charging anything. My dear friends, I want to bring this to your attention once again. I close. Let us not even be carried away by people who appear to be self-denying. You know, it's very attractive. People who seem to be very unselfish. And they give gifts easily. They seem to be helpful easily. Now, as we said, we should receive these things kindly, thankfully. But supposing they want to present themselves as teachers. Supposing they want to present themselves as leaders of the things of the Lord. Look for more than that. Surely we will appreciate that. But look for more. What would you look for? Listen to the apostle, what he said in verse 6. And we close. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, I know the truths. He says that this also. But we have been truly made manifest among you in all things. We've shown ourselves consistent in the things of the Lord, not in some things only, but in everything. We want to see people willing to obey the Lord in everything, and not in selective things. I don't do this. You know, me, I don't do this. You know, me, I do this every time. It's admirable. Yes, we are glad the person does it. And we pray that he will grow in that. But that should never lure us to let us think of him to be really a reliable speaker, that we should listen to him. We want to see obedience, or at least a desire to obey the Lord in all things. Because we should be manifested as people who want to obey the Lord in all things. Then we would have shown ourselves as faithful Christians, loyal to our Savior, or faithful ministers of the Lord Jesus Christ. My dear friends, loyalty to the Lord Jesus Christ, so committed to see him alone exalted, will keep us safe from the subtlety of those who don't really love the Savior, but pretend, come with the same terms, come with the attitudes of self-denying and denial and kindness. And Apostle Paul even says in Colossians chapter 2, false humility. Come along with those things. If you want Christ to be seen alone, we'll be safe. They won't lure us. Because we'll soon realize it's not Christ they want to glorify. There's something of self. And then we'll have discovered their subtlety. May the Lord help us all, my dear friends.